I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the RSL show. I am now a host, Andy Munoz. Over there in the corner, because we don't have a third microphone currently, is Joshua Clark.
Hey, everybody.
he is here, and right in front of me, we have the... I hate saying that whole man, the myth, the legend stuff, but you really are a legend amongst a lot of people with the club. We got Trey Fitzgerald. From the Clarendon Cobalt podcast.
Yep.
And director of communications for Real Salt Lake officially. Trey, we are here to discuss a few things. I know we all kind of got to get out of here for Thanksgiving. Also, if you're listening to this on Thanksgiving, thank you for including us in your holiday.
We're thankful for you.
Very thankful. But Trey, talk to us a little. Let's just get right into it.
Sure.
Talk to us a little bit about Seattle, your experience, your thoughts. We ran into each other.
Yeah.
Overall, I know you have to be very positive, and you always are. I don't think you have ever lied to this fan base or
Never.
Anything like that. But what was your feeling going into Seattle, going into Lumen Field?
Sure.
What were you feeling that day? And what was the club feeling? I mean, yeah. You're around them all.
Yeah, the vibes were good, man. And this is the thing. Like, obviously, nobody thought we'd go in and win that game. And I guess technically we didn't win it. It's a tie after 120 minutes. We'll get into that. But nobody thought we would eliminate Seattle in advance to go back to Kansas City. Look, I don't know if naive is the right, but I'm always very hopeful, right? For success for this club. And like you and Josh and so many people that are listening, I think have the kind of the same feeling. I was not negative going in because, I mean, after what we saw in Kansas City a few weeks ago, like anything can happen, you know? And look, I didn't think we'd lose at home to San Jose. I didn't think we'd lose at home to Portland on Kyle Beckerman night. I knew the Kansas City game was going to be really, really tough. And, you know, Demir came up massive, right? And then we're in the playoffs. Playoffs is it's always a crazy tournament. And with the international breaks, you don't have the home-and-home series like you used to. So now it's a one-off single elimination. And as we've lived in this club, anything can happen. And going back to Seattle 12 years and a day after we beat L.A. in penalty kicks there, I told Pablo when we were walking out on the field, he had to go do a Fox interview. I was like, dude, there's just good vibes here. Like, the turf sucks. There's 35,000, 40,000, 50,000 people, whatever it's going to be, screaming against you. But, like, our club is always, even though we haven't won in Seattle a lot, like, our greatest win was there, right? So, I don't know, man. I just felt good. The guys felt good. Obviously, the Rusnak stuff with his COVID test and wondering if it's false positive and then him getting retested and separated from the group and then ultimately not being able to join us in Seattle. Like, it sucked having to try to play that game without Albert. And that's probably why you saw Seattle have 64% of the possession or whatever it was. And I hate to beat a dead horse, man. Seattle's always had awful, awful turf up there. It used to be like marbles in a bathtub. It was just frantic, and nobody could control the ball, and it was like wide open. And we've been on the end of some of those games. And look, we won a couple up there. And then the turf they have now, because the Seahawks really run that building, it's a little slower, it's a little thicker, but it still feels kind of hard. I don't know how to describe it, but you could tell, like, our guys during the game, when they're dribbling and it kind of spins a funny way, or the ball would just stop, or, you know, they'd hit a pass, and sometimes it's too hard, sometimes it's too soft. Like, just trying to get the weight of how the ball is going to react on that turf, I just felt like that limited us. I don't think anybody went into that game thinking, hey, we're going to put everybody behind the ball and we're not going to take any shots. Like, I rewatched the broadcast yesterday, and Josh and I were talking offline as well. And look, the first half, you know, there was a few kind of half chances and crosses that if the ball just slides a different way, or if it's a little bit better, I don't know, half beat, then maybe we do go up 1-0, because, like, Seattle wasn't exactly dangerous either. And I know we got a lot to get into with Ochoa and his time wasting. And you know, as the game went on, like, they're bodying up Demir, and with no Albert to take pressure off of that, just didn't have anybody that could really dictate the tempo of the game with the ball. And but we did what we had to do, and I'm excited to go to Kansas City, not only because it's the next round, but even though we won't have Albert, it's a better surface. I think we can get back to kind of playing soccer.
Yeah, and you know, Seattle pulled out all the stops, right? They've got, you had Cristiano Roldan on the field. You had Rui Diaz on the field. You had Morris on the field. From my perspective, KSL Sports flew me out. I was right behind the south end goal. There was probably one cross where, had someone just been in there to tap it, we might have been down 1-0. But it was just a strong Seattle team. And so, you know, kind of going into KC, knowing that we've beat them 1-0, it makes me feel very good and very hopeful. But back to, like, the good vibes.
Yeah.
I mean, you're within the club, you're traveling charter with them, you're in it. Is there anything that you could share just overall from, like, maybe things that, like, what was like the mental, sure, attitude of the players? I mean, you lose Albert Rusnak. I'll be honest, when I heard the news an hour prior to the match, you know, it almost kind of, it's a little bit of a downer.
Yeah.
And you can't help but feel like, man, it's going to be a lot tougher, and maybe this is the coffin in the nail for us.
Yeah.
I think you guys had knowledge of that, obviously, if he wasn't traveling with you guys, of his, you know, testing prior. But is there anything that you could share that, you know,
sure,
attitude-wise, mental-wise from the
players?
Well,
yeah, and look, with Albert, you know, you kind of thinking, shit, we're going to have to play this game without him. But there's still a hope that, hey, if this test comes back negative and he gets a couple negative rapid tests, does it undo this? And, you know, we're just grasping at straws. I know the trainers were probably a lot more stressed than they let on in terms of trying to get him there. But ultimately, you know, look, Albert is your captain. He's a guy that played all but 15 minutes over 34 games. And now suddenly he's missing a full 90, or in this case, a full 120. But you bring up mentality, and I'm glad you brought up that word, because just being around Pablo and Matt Taylor, his assistant, and seeing how they talk to the guys, you know, these are guys that played in MLS for a long time. Matt Taylor also played over in Germany for a while. And, they really believe that it's a player's locker room. And, you know, Pablo is constantly talking publicly and privately about, hey, when I was a player, this is what I liked from my coach, and this is what I hated. And he'll say, like, I don't want to be one of those coaches that just shove stuff down guys' throats. And then the player has to feel like, well, I got my marching orders. I got to do this. Pablo is very much and has been from when he got here as an assistant, spent, what, 6 months, 4 months under Freddie. Then, you know, he did do a few things, and we can talk about this, the things he did to kind of separate himself from Freddie. But with all the formation changes, like the 3-5-2 came about because Aaron Herrera was hurt, came back for a game, then got yellow card suspended. So, and then Silva was hurt. So, like, you have to figure out a formation or a setup that tries to allow a lot of things to happen. And certainly the 3-5-2 got Albert off the wing and more into the central part of the field, and it got Demir closer to the goal. And obviously we were scoring a ton of goals. We were creating a ton of chances. We were really, really fun to watch. And we had kind of 500 results, right? And then but anyway, getting back to Seattle, it was just – and whether it's a guy like Justin Meram, who's been part of four organizations, he had 16 games of playoff experience.
I mean, you forget that guy played for Atlanta United.
Yeah.
You know?
Orlando, he had his best success, I think, in Columbus. But he's played in a lot of big playoff games, you know?
Yeah.
And then I can go a million directions. But even though Albert was gone, the group never felt – you never felt like the air go out of the room or out of the group. And I think this is where Pablo's talk about mentality, like, I think every guy that's in the 11, every guy that dresses, that is in the 20, every guy of the 30 that is in the training sessions every day, they all feel a certain amount of ownership. And I think Pablo wants them to feel total ownership. And so the stories we heard about, so Justin Glad goes on, you know, ESPN 700, does an interview with Bill Riley, and he's talking about maybe Justin Meram was going to take that sixth PK, but Glad said, you know, he was feeling it, and Meram encouraged him. And that's just Meram being a veteran, like, I'm good, but if you're feeling it right now, like, you should go right now. And
yeah.
Basically what Pablo later said to Spence Checkets on ESPN 700 was, look, I just told those guys they got to figure it out, you know? And I thought this was so cool from Pablo. He basically said, if the guys go in, whether it's penalty kicks or anything else, if they know going in that they own it and they own their spot and they're confident, then they have made that kick before they ever have to take it. And I thought that was just a really cool way. And for Justin Glad, let's talk about this for a second, guys. Justin Glad steps up. He's an academy kid. He's been around the organization forever. I think we forget how young he is. He steps up and makes that, you know, essentially the game-winning kick. And this is a guy who, under both Mike Pecky and Freddy Juarez, would play 95% of the games in the season and then get benched in the playoffs. So how freaking cool is that for him to step up? And I think he was so happy. And that guy loves this club as much as anybody. And that's – I feel like I could say that about everybody. I mean, even like Ashton Morgan hadn't played in, I don't know, a month. And he comes in and he played 15 minutes of really good, just doing the job he needed to do to keep everything on lock.
That's a name I forgot.
Right?
Ashton Morgan.
But, you know, Andrew Brody ran his butt off for 105 minutes. And
yeah.
I don't know, man. It's just so cool to see every day, every game. It seems like somebody different kind of steps up. And, I mean, we haven't even gotten to David Ochoa yet. Like,
right.
He was – I didn't feel like he was egregiously time-wasting in the first half. But, you know, he'd take a few extra this here, that there, mm-hmm. and then he gets the yellow. You know, Pablo Ruiz was going back and forth with the referee the whole game, and – there's a foul early in the second half. I think it was Menendez thought he got fouled, and there's no call. And literally Ochoa sprints like 80 yards up the field.
Up to the half.
To yell at the referee, and the ref gave him a yellow card. But in some ways, isn't that really smart for him to get that yellow card there? Because now he can do all the time-wasting, and the ref's not going to give him kind of a throwaway time-wasting yellow card if it ends up being a red card in a playoff game. I think that the referees aren't trying to change the game, and that would have changed the game, obviously, if you have to give David a red or a second yellow. And so I don't know how calculated that all is. I haven't talked to David specifically about it, but, man, I love it. And, you know, Twitter's blowing up, and you have guys like Brian Dunseth and Alexi Lawless and Taylor Twellman and Andrew Wiebe and everybody saying – David Ochoa is the most interesting thing about this game. And if he's choosing to be the villain and he's gesticulating at the Seattle crowd, I just thought it was awesome. And you got a lot of good video of that when you were up there, Andy.
Yeah. Thank you. It was a hostile environment. you know, when I was setting up the camera right in front of the supporter section, some lady had noticed that, you know, I talked to like a staff member from Real Salt Lake. I think it was Tyler, because Tyler was proudly wearing his Real Salt Lake beanie, yeah. Right? And so she's like, "Are you from out of town?" I'm like, "Yeah, you know, I'm from Salt Lake. I'm here to cover." And she goes, she's like, "Whatever you do, like, do not let these guys know that you're with Salt Lake at all, right? Like, don't celebrate if you score a goal," basically. But it was, yeah, it was a crazy, 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 crazy environment. It's, you know, I said it on the Instagram live that we did, Lumen Field is Rio Tinto Stadium on steroids. Yeah. it's an NFL, stadium, a lot of history, massive, huge, and it filled up. I mean, it was to me, I mean, I forget to look up sometimes. I don't know if it was a sellout crowd. I would expect, that it's either sold out or close to that.
Yeah, I think it was sold out for their, they have a few different capacities, but they didn't open up the upper bowl, but.
Yeah,
it was packed. It was 34,000 and change in the lower bowl, yeah. And they're into it.
Yeah, and so you hear, I think it riles up David in the sense because, I mean, you know, they're not saying nice. I mean, you're not shit talking in a nice way. Yeah. You're saying some pretty horrible things.
Sure.
And they're saying it in Spanish, and so it's like, yeah, David, like, give it back. You know, not in the sense of. You know, he's not going to turn around and shout anything, but yeah, waste time. Be that goalkeeper that everybody hates. And you know what? For me, Stephen Fry, I've never liked that guy. I respect him, but I just dislike him because he's, you know, same antics. So, and you know, I kind of want to talk about the PKs. And so Pablo Ruiz, let's kind of go back to his. Sure. His first PK is blocked. And thankfully, pro referees noticed that Stephen Fry came off of his line early. What were you feeling? What kind of emotions were you feeling? Because you were right behind the goal watching that. What was Trey Fitzgerald? Well, what was going through your mind?
I'm always pulling for Pablo because Pablo was one of the guys that went over to Austria and really kind of found himself again. And I always want him to do well. And his... You know, his career at Real Salt Lake since coming back from Austria, I think, has been a little bit of a roller coaster ride. And it's funny, he was getting killed on Twitter during the game. And when I rewatched the broadcast yesterday, I didn't think he was bad. I think he had some problems with the ball on the turf, overrunning some things, but everybody did. I didn't think he was whatever. Anyway, I think he's a guy that. The people love to kind of pick on. He might be playing a little bit out of position. Like, if we ever went back to a 4-4-2 diamond, like, he'd be perfect in one of those, like, Grabavoy or Will Johnson roles on, like, the side of the diamond. But, you know, he's a technically talented guy. He's being asked to carry a lot of defensive weight in the way we're set up now in both the 3-5-2 or the 4-2-3-1. So, anyway, when he missed that PK... Like, obviously, like, my heart kind of drops. My mind starts going back to, you know, the PKs in Chicago in 2009, the PKs in Seattle against LA in 2009, and the PKs in Kansas City. Because in every one of those PK shootouts, we were down, I think, 3-1. And somebody screwed up, right? Whether it was Fabian Espíndola or Ned Grabavoy or Alvaro Saborío, like, somebody missed a kick. Now, that particular kick of Pablo's reminded me because he hit it with his left. And Josh just said it.
is very Sebastian Velasquez circa 2013.
And that is where my mind went. Because so Sebastian hit that PK in 2013. And so, like, that was – Nap Borchers should have taken that shot, right? Because he takes the next one in 2013 and slams it home.
Blasted.
But Sebastian, you know, Sebastian I think was a rookie in 13. Lefty, you know, and Garth always said, left-footed players can't hit a ball as hard as right-footed players, which doesn't make sense to me, but it kind of sometimes bears itself out. So, you know, thankfully, as you said, VAR saw that Fry was way off his line. And
goes our way finally.
Yeah, and they'd been watching it. So, like, you could see the refs talking to both keepers a lot before and during the shootout about staying on the line. And Pablo stepped up, and he hit it, I think, to the same side the second time, but he hit it with a lot more force, and everything kind of stayed true.
Redemption.
Yeah, yeah. So that's good for Pablo, man, yeah. And it's good for everybody. And it actually it kept my blood pressure down, because even though, like, I had all these other memories going through my head, like, I don't know, I just had a calm about me, which is weird for me, if in case you didn't know. But
you know, so one thing I love about Trey that I found out in Seattle is that you are indeed very superstitious. And I hear about, you know, I hear people talk about superstition and, you know, like, either you wear a certain piece of clothing to a match. I'm going to shout out Bean Mace. So Bean Mace was there, too. He was a big part of my trip to Seattle. Big shout out to him. Nice. He helped me carry some equipment after the game, too. But he wore a jersey honoring, I didn't know him personally, but his name, J.Y., Josh? J.Y.? What's his first name, J?
Jeremy
York. A big avid supporter. Like, I've heard nothing but good things from our previous friends. I never got to meet him. That was before I lived here, but he passed away. One of our really good friends' brother, Aaron York.
Yeah.
So he, you know, Bean's wearing the jersey, and wow, he's wearing it for, you know, the
That's
luck,
cool.
the good luck.
Yeah.
And but what I found out about you, because I asked you, I think it was after the first half.
Mm.
We're sitting there, we're kind of talking, and I see you just kind of, you know, standing there pacing. It's cold as hell. And I'm asking you if you're going to move,
yeah,
if you're going to go anywhere else. And you say, no, I'm going to stay put, because I feel like the minute I came over here, you know, like, Real Salt Lake is sunk in a good place at 0-0 at the half. I feel really good about it.
Yeah.
And you stayed put. And arguably, you know, the second half kind of goes the same way. We go, obviously, into extra time. It was good soccer. I mean, a lot of people are going to say it's terrible soccer. Zero shots from, yeah, Real Salt Lake. But you stayed put. Your demeanor was great. We go into PKs, and obviously we end up winning. When did that whole superstition stuff start for you, man? Like, has that just been like a lifelong thing in soccer?
It's weird, man, because, like, I watched the first half. I was up in the box, and, you know, RSL is okay. Like, we played fine. We weren't awful. But I came down on the field at halftime, and I, because I had to go to the locker room to grab my jacket, and wanted to come say hi to you. And I was like, oh, I'll just watch the second half from here. And then we got through those 45 minutes, which I think were a little uglier than the first 45. But it was at that intermission between the 90 and the 120 where you and I had this conversation.
Okay.
And I was like, look, I kind of wanted – sometimes I'll go hang out by the bench, too, on the sideline in certain venues, and just to kind of switch up the mojo. But, like, that night in Seattle, I was like, I don't want to mess anything up, you know? Not that I actually have any influence on anything, but
hey,
it was just like, I'm going to stay here. And then – it was funny because Samantha Yara, she came by and she's like, come hang out with me. And I was like, she's like, we need your energy. And I was like, yeah, but, like, if we go over there, it'd be because I think maybe me moving would help us score. But if I leave and we get scored on, like, that's exactly what goes through my head.
Yeah.
And it's so stupid. It makes no sense.
No, hey.
But anyway, everybody's got their little whatever traditions or idiosyncrasies. And on this night, I just thought, I'm going to stay right here. And I watched that whole second half and the whole overtime and the whole PKs from that one spot. Like, I barely moved. And then I felt like I realized that we won it as soon as Glads went in and Ochoa realized it. I felt like it took the rest of the stadium an extra second to realize, like, we won the game.
Same here. Because I didn't know if it was, like, I didn't know it was going best of five and then, like, maybe a tiebreaker, like, one by one. Yeah. So I'm pointing the camera.
Yeah, we're in sudden death there.
And I'm just waiting for, okay, like, what's happening? And then I see Real Salt, like,
run
onto
the
field.
And you see our guys run from midfield, yeah?
Yeah. So it was a little bit of a delay.
Yeah, and I've thought back to that moment for a few times over the last, you know, 24 hours or whatever it's been. I think the fans were shocked because they were, you know, there were parts of the game they were loud. There were parts of the game that they were really quiet. Then there was a cool moment. I don't remember when it was, like 78th minute, maybe something. They started singing a certain song. And it's like, you know, hey, Salt Lake, we don't hear anything. But I just thought it was cool hearing that many people sing and supporting their team. And I heard a lot of the negative comments towards Ochoa. Most of them were some variation of "You're not Nick Raimondo," which which is pretty funny. But David loved it, man. And you know, he loved getting into it with the ref.
Fuels him.
Yeah, and so sorry, I wanted to circle back to this because Pablo had told the Fox guys, the bigger the moment, the tighter the moment. He thinks that's when Ochoa is at his best and when he's better. And we saw it in Kansas City a few weeks ago, and we saw it in Seattle. We've seen it a few other times this year, so hopefully we see it again this Sunday.
Yeah, feeling really good about Sunday. But yeah, man, the atmosphere, you're right. It was electric, but it also just kind of felt like it was just like, you know, good things were going to go for Real Salt Lake. And
well, and the longer that game is 0-0 or 1-1, the better it was always going to be for us. And Pablo said this too. He's like, look, the pressure's on them. Like, they're the ones that are home. They're the ones that are the heavy favorites. They're the ones that the longer the game is kind of in question, their fans are going to put the pressure on them. The onus is on them to win the game. And I think Pablo said the onus, you know, we just had to find a way, you know, or something like that. I thought it was an interesting dichotomy as he described it. But, you know, so the plan wasn't to go in and play negative soccer and try to get out in PKs, but the plan was to try to obviously limit their chances, which we did, and
make it tough.
Yeah, make it really tough on them. And look, they didn't have a lot of great chances. Like, Jordan Morris had that one after somebody was running at Glad for like 40 yards, but they just weren't on the same page either. You know, Seattle, they hadn't won since early October, and I don't know. It was an interesting game, and it's obviously, it's a different game of chess when it's win or go home, when it's not part of a series, when it's not part of a regular season.
Did you have any interaction with Freddie Juarez at all? Did you say
I didn't? I was not on the field pregame when he did hug, you know, a lot of people, which I thought was really cool that people on the RSL side all went out of their way to say hi and give him a hug. And, you know, look, we've seen Freddie a couple times since he left. And then there's some funny stuff on Twitter, obviously showing him up in the booth. And Judas is like, somebody did a fake Chiron over the Fox stuff.
Did you see the video? I believe it was Megan Van Dyke shared it. No, it was Samantha Yarick.
Yeah, Freddie on three. That was Justin Miram.
Yeah, so
They were going to do a post-game photo in the locker room. And they were running the highlights on the news in the locker room when we walked in. So everybody's singing and dancing, watching the end of the game. And then Laura Dearden on our staff said, hey, let's do a photo. And they were kind of assembling for the photo. And there was kind of a dead second. And Justin Miram goes, okay, Freddie on three. And
everybody goes,
Freddie.
Yeah, it was awesome, man.
So.
No, yeah, it was cool to see the acknowledgement. Certainly kind of squashes that weird beef, quote unquote, that I think a lot of people assumed existed. I mean, you know, when fresh after the news that, you know, Freddie was going to go back and, or excuse me, just leave RSL as the head coach and go be an assistant, I remember Rubio Rubin's media press availability. Yep. You know, he didn't necessarily say anything directly about Freddie, but it was very, hey, like, you know, if you don't believe in us, then yeah, like go on your merry way, right?
Yeah, and look, I don't think there was guys that, because I've talked to a lot of guys about it, and people, like, I think everybody kind of feels probably the way we do. It was kind of a weird time to make that decision, but in this business, at some point, and players know this better than anybody, you have to make a decision that's best for you and your family. And look, Freddie's gotten 4 years guaranteed as an assistant at what is probably the best run organization in Major League Soccer. He wasn't going to get this job. I just don't feel that in my gut that, I don't know, maybe like the team could have done something and could have gone, you know, but I just think that the page was about to be turned in one way or another. And yeah. Freddie took the safe option. And as the Fox guy said, that window was closing. He had to make a decision. I did get to see Craig Weibel and Garth Lagerwey when I was up there. Spent actually a lot of time with both those guys. I do wish I had seen Freddie, but I, like, as Pablo says, whenever he's asked about this, like, it's not about RSL versus Freddie or one guy's decision. Everything we're trying to do right now is about stuff that's so much bigger than that. And it is about the group. And this is where those kind of good vibes come back into play is, you know, whether it's Justin Meerum kind of being a leader. I mean, think about, we haven't given up a goal in 255 minutes. The last goal we gave up was that last one against Portland right before halftime. And you've got four academy kids or graduates. I shouldn't call them kids, but in David Ochoa, Aaron Herrera, Justin Glad, and Andrew Brody. And obviously Marcelo Silva's return. He's been a monster back there since he got back.
It's crazy to think that all of those guys have just been playing with each other for close to a decade.
Well, and those are the guys that were closest to Freddie. Freddie was their coach down in Arizona.
Yeah.
You know?
Taking him to movies after practice and all that, keeping him out of trouble.
Yep.
He's a father figure.
Yep.
For those guys.
That's exactly right.
So I saw Freddie. He was walking behind the goal before the match started, and I pulled my mask down a little bit, which in hindsight, I'm like, this was, you know, probably not the best thing for me to do. But I go, hey, Freddie, I'm like, I don't know if you remember me. And he goes, oh, yeah, I remember you. I go, it's good to see you, man. Like, thank you so much for everything you did for RSL. And he just went on his way. So, he remembers coming on the RSL show, man. It was pretty cool. Nice to say hi to him. But I'm pretty sure he knows about all the talking that we've done in the past years. Whoops. Yeah. It was a really cool moment to see the entire team embrace Freddie. I'm glad my camera was rolling on that. Also kind of weird to see him just wearing like a Seattle Sounders green beanie. But yeah.
That was weird. It was weird seeing Weibel wearing Sounders gear too. I was like, okay, whatever.
It's very weird. But, you know, kind of to what you were mentioning, you have to do what is best. And if you guys haven't had a chance, we had Tom Hackett from KSL Sports sit with Elliot Fall for an hour. It's on our YouTube. Elliot describes a culture within Real Salt Lake that I think is actually pretty healthy, especially for staff members, that if a club reaches out and says, hey, we want to speak to so-and-so, that Elliot's never going to close that door, and he's going to allow his staff to have those conversations. And that's exactly what happened, right? Seattle calls, requests to talk to Freddie. Freddie takes the phone call and hears them out and does what's best for him. Great for him, great for his family. You're done, dude. Your season's done. And it feels really nice to say that.
Yeah, so Greg Lawless actually played in MLS. He's Alexi's brother. He's had a great career as a journalist and an editor of different both print and online publications, but he has a great thread that I tweeted out yesterday. Dunny's and Taylor Twellman's Twitter feeds also have some of this stuff in there. But Greg Lawless, part of his thread was, I wonder what's going through Freddie Juarez's head this morning. Look, Freddie's good, man.
It's all love, right? It's just like teasing. Yep. It's just, hey.
No, and look, it's part of the reason he had to make that decision the way he did is because of our ownership situation. So nobody could tell him what the future was going to hold. But meanwhile, you know, literally the best run organization in the history of Major League Soccer that's made the playoffs every year they've been in the league, 13 straight years. They're unbeaten in 17 straight home playoff games, and that streak is still intact because, again, our shootout win goes as a tie. But,
yeah, I mean, the Sounders, you know,
they're
live,
offering him 300-something whatever a year.
Right.
I don't know anybody that wasn't going to probably take that opportunity. But, again, I wasn't here this year for a lot of Freddie's stuff. I have been here for Pablo, and I got to tell you, I love being around Pablo as much as I can. The breath of fresh air, the breath of fresh air that Pablo Mastroianni has brought. And look, he probably brought it back in February or whenever he was hired. I just didn't get to experience it until right after he kind of took over as the head man. But I love the way he talks to the fans and the media and the way he talks to the players and the way he just interacts with everybody. And I don't feel like this organization has had somebody like this since Garth in 2014. Somebody like Pablo, one of his, I think, special qualities is, and this was what we always said about Garth, right? He was the glue. So whether you were the security person on the press level that volunteered each game, or whether you were Dave Checketts, or whether you were somebody somewhere in between in whatever you consider the grand hierarchy, Garth made you feel like you were part of the RSL family. And for me, Pablo really does that.
So awesome.
It's awesome.
Is he going to be the new head coach?
I don't know.
Did you hear that somebody was at Park Cafe the other day? A fan tweeted that Jason Christ was at Park Cafe. Do you know anything about that?
Well, I do know Jason's youngest son goes to school at the U, but I'm a little mad if Jason came to Salt Lake and didn't, you know, tell me he was going to be here.
Blink twice if he's going to be the new head coach. You're not blinking. No, I got to put some pressure on
you. I mean, I don't know who the next head coach is going to be. No. Like, you know. Pablo could probably wrap it up if he wins a cup. I don't know.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Pablo? I have a lot of belief in Pablo.
This has very Major League vibes. You guys remember that movie?
No. I remember basketball.
Major League was early in our days of being alive.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. Yes.
Great. Well, thank you for your contribution, Josh.
Yeah, super good contribution, huh?
Yeah. Hey.
But no, I just wanted to throw in that.
Yeah,
along with the Major League vibes, this has a lot of 2009 vibes.
A lot of
MLS Cup 2009.
A lot of Moneyball vibes, but without the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just the way we won in 09 is very similar to what's the path we're on now. So it's just feeling kind of cool. I don't want to jinx anything.
Look
but
at you. Yeah.
I know.
So you're the biggest Kansas City hater that I know.
Yeah, one of them, yeah.
Are you nervous for Sunday? What is Joshua Clark feeling?
I feel like we can't sit back like we did against Seattle, against Kansas City. I don't think we'll need to. I also think after the DeMiracle game, it's going to be really easy to get under the skin of the Kansas City players. I think we use that to our advantage, maybe have them draw a red or two. I think it could happen because they're pissed, right? Their social media team's trying to act mad, but they're not good at it. But yeah, I think if we agitate them enough and agitate that crowd, nick a goal somewhat early, we can absolutely move on to the Western Conference Final.
That is crazy to think that it's just a game between us and that.
Yeah. That's why the playoffs are so cool. Like, if you get hot at the right time or things click, because I don't want to say we're getting hot, right? But things are clicking, and and good things are happening, right? Like the vibes are there. I stole that from RSL's media team. But yeah. If you can, you know, do that for, you know, three more matches, you'll have a trophy.
Good point. With a matchup coming, obviously, Rusnak, I don't think is going to be available in any way, shape,
not
or form.
Not till late next week, if at all.
Yeah.
Right.
So what's the protocol? 10 days? No. Well, he's got to clear because he tested positive.
Yeah, 10 days, and then he's got to test negative.
Oh boy.
So who knows, right?
Yeah. Hopefully he's dude's a workhorse. He,
sure.
If anyone's gonna, you know, shake it off quickly, I would imagine it's in shape. How old is Albert?
27.
27? Yeah. But cool. Good vibes towards Albert as well. Any thoughts on the PKs? I mean, we just described them, Josh.
I think, I'm not going to lie, as most players walked up, I was very confused as to the order.
Mm-hmm.
Very confused, right? You don't traditionally see, three defenders and a defensive midfielder take them before your strikers.
It's very interesting.
But I like it because I feel like they went with whoever was feeling it, and that's the way to go. So
yeah.
I thought
team call.
Most were very good penalties. Demir's was incredible. Marcelo Silva's was an excellent penalty. Did not expect that out of him. Caught a little break with Fry cheating off his line, and then Ochoa came up with a huge save, and off to Kansas City we go.
I'm really happy that Fry's out. I mean, respect the guy. I've never liked him. I don't know why.
Honestly, I'm just glad Seattle's out, right? Like, it's been Seattle. It gets annoying. So.
Yeah.
Real quick on the PKs, listen to Pablo's interview with Spence Checkets, and he talks about how that order was decided. And this goes back to kind of the ownership thing that Pablo gives the players, because he basically just said he didn't determine the order. He said, who's number one? And Aaron Herrera goes, I'm number one. And then, okay, who's number two? And Pablo says, I'm number two. And then three, I think, was Demir. And then four was Bobby Wood. And then five was Marcelo. And then six, both Justins kind of at the same time said they wanted it. And so Pablo just said, you guys work it out. And then they did. And it was just – it just gives a nice window into how Pablo makes these decisions by committee with the guys. Like, part of the reason Aaron Herrera switched from the outside – kind of winger spot in the 3-5-2 to the back right center back spot in the 3-5-2 is because Aaron said, like, even though I should be able to get forward easier from there to whip balls in, I don't have like a sense of my defensive responsibilities. And Pablo says, okay, well, where do you want to be? And he's like, I want to be right here. And so, yeah, that's probably hurt some of Aaron's attacking prowess over the last whatever, but now we've gone two games in a row with four in the back, and we haven't given up a goal in 255 minutes dating back. So who knows what's going to happen Sunday in Kansas City, but like, it's just, I think it's really cool, that everybody feels confident and entitled enough to have a voice and for Pablo to be able to kind of make everybody, he feels that like giving them that voice gives them confidence.
It's a lot of trust.
Yeah.
And you want trust from your, you know, superiors.
Yeah. So, again, like you just said, it lets everybody kind of go do their job and do it with positive ideas. And I think Josh is right, though. This does have a little 2009 vibes, and it could be a nice little RSL revenge tour. You start in Seattle, you go to Kansas City. Yeah, I've never had a Rocky Mountain Cup playoff match before. That could be fun. And I barely know who's on the eastern side of the bracket. I don't think we really have any rivals over there. But
interesting.
Nashville's coached by Colorado's old coach. Bruce Arena is always fun, but I don't think he – I think he actually likes – when he was the national team coach, he used to like coming to Salt Lake. So.
Yeah. Let's talk about the match that's happening in a few hours. Colorado versus Portland.
Yeah.
Who would you rather advance from those two teams?
Colorado all day.
Why? Elaborate.
We've beaten Colorado a few times this year. Haven't beaten Portland.
Good point. That's good point.
Purely it.
What about you, Trey?
I don't know. I guess I don't have a preference. I just want us to get by Kansas City, but
yeah.
Excuse me. It would be really cool to have a Rocky Mountain Cup playoff match, but it could be cool to play Portland again, and maybe the third time's the charm. Who knows? So, but that is bringing on a lot of risk, I think.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, those have been two pretty tough games against Portland. What have they outscored us 9-1 this year? Yeah, that's not fun.
Yeah.
But again, nobody believes in us but us. So
I love it. Cool. Well, if you guys haven't seen, there's a very cool video online. Justin Glad's sister watching the PK in real time, just absolutely going crazy. It's on the Major League Soccer account. Go check that out. Thanks for hanging out with us on Thanksgiving. Hope you guys are eating a lot and getting those much-needed breaks after working our asses off. Before we go, Trey, is there anything else that you want to share at all?
I just want to basically, since it's Thanksgiving, express to you guys at the RSL show and basically to the whole fan base just how thankful I am for you and for everybody who has passion for this club, who is opening up their lives to learn about soccer because, you know, this club is like my home and Salt Lake's become my home. And I'm just so happy and thankful to kind of be back in the mix. It's hard to believe I've only been back with the club like 6 weeks. It feels like a lot longer, but it's been a wild ride. I think everything the club's gone through, we could not have survived without the fans. And, you know, seeing the videos from the watch parties the other night at Beer Bar and the stadium was just so, so cool. And we get to do it all again on Sunday, and I can't wait. So anyway, I just want to let everybody in the RSL family know how much I appreciate and how much thanks I want to give to them for just believing in this little 17-year-old soccer club and us thinking like we could not only that we could change the world of soccer, but that that soccer could do a lot for this community. So it's been a two-way street, and it's been awesome.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys so much. We are going to wrap up. Josh, anything you'd like to say?
Keep an eye out for a giveaway on the Twitter later on today.
Trey, thank you so much, dude. The communication from the club, everybody at the club has just been wonderful to work with. So we take your message, and we kind of throw that back, I think, as the RSL show and as fans. It is so cool to kind of have this access to you guys and for you willing to come out and do this on Thanksgiving. There's no other person. Look at me, Trey. There's no other person I'd rather spend Thanksgiving with, buddy. I love you, dude. All right. Hey, RSL show, follow us, obviously, on socials. Follow KSL Sports. And we also want to thank our One Wire Fiber sponsor. Go check them out, onewire.co. If you are a business owner, that is the best place for voice over IP in Utah. Those guys care, and they also wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading Doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.